ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता Chapter 1, Text 42, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Doshairetai kulagnanam Varna sankara karakai Utsadyante jati dharmaha Kula dharmas cha shashvataha Doshairetai kula gnanam Varna sankara karakaihi Utsadyante kula dharma kula dharmas cha shashvataha By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Purport. Community projects for the four orders of human society combined with family welfare activities as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatan Dharma or Varnashram Dharma are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatan Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society, and consequently people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are called blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. Doshairetai kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi utsadyante jati dharma kula dharmas cha shashvataha. These are words spoken by Arjuna as part of his case for not fighting. Krishna will respond to this by saying, Ashochananda Sochas Twang Pragya Vadangs Cha Bhasha Segatasu Nagatasu Cha Nanu Shochanti Panditaha. By saying that, you are speaking like a pundit. You are speaking as if you are very learned, but you don't consider that those who are actually learned do not lament in the way that you are lamenting. Klaibyang masmakamav parta naita tvayupadyate kshudrang hridya daurbalyang tyakto tishta paranta. He tells Arjuna, you are the scorcher of enemies. Now you're talking like a eunuch. You still think you're that Brihannala in the court of King Virat. How have these impurities come upon you now? Remember, you're on the battlefield now. You're not in the teaching the young girls how to dance. They're not befitting of an Arya. So from these statements of Krishna, we can understand that what Arjuna is speaking is completely nonsense, right? Well, in the next verse, Arjuna will say, Anushushrama. I heard all this by the cyclic succession. That means it's according to Shastra. And in the purport that Srila Prabhupada gives to this verse, Srila Prabhupada upholds Arjuna's points. That if the family tradition is spoiled, if the culture is spoiled, then Varna Sankara will be born. People who may be born from the semen of a respectable person, but from the womb of an... this Varna Sankara refers to Pratiloma, particularly. Pratiloma, children who are born from a man who places his seed in the womb of a woman of higher caste. And there's also Anuloma, but that's not considered as bad. A man places his seed in the womb of a woman of lower caste. That may be acceptable. So Varna Sankara, they're born, and all dharma here stated as jati dharma, kula dharma, family traditions, which Srila Prabhupada puts in his purport, he includes them under the rubric of Sanatan Dharma, Varnashram Dharma. They will all be destroyed. And when that happens, when that tradition is destroyed, then this brings about chaos in the society because people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. So these are all very good points, actually. Why does Krishna reject them? Because Arjuna makes them, they're good points, but they are made on a basis of misunderstanding of Varnashram. And a misunderstanding of some of the very basic principles of spiritual knowledge. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada states that by the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition, people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. But this means the Daiva Varnashram. Varnashram, which is Varnashram Acharavata, Purushena Parapuman, Vishnu Ra Radhyate Panta, Nanyat Tattu Shakaranam. The Varnashram system by which people follow their prescribed duties and worship Vishnu. There is no other way to satisfy Vishnu, according to this verse. So that's the Daiva Varnashram, but then the Varnashram system, which becomes stultified as the caste system, in which people just claim superiority on the basis of birth. So in that Sanatana Dharma tradition, or misrepresentation of the Sanatana Dharma, then people also forget the aim of life, Vishnu. So by not following the Varnashram, one will certainly not know the aim of life, Vishnu. And also if Varnashram is not properly followed, one will also not know the aim of life, Vishnu. So Arjuna was speaking from the bodily platform and from the platform of personal happiness. So Krishna criticized that. Later, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he apparently disparaged Varnashram Dharma. Eto Shabachari Arvarnashram Dharma Niskinchan Haya Laya Ekanta Krishnaika Sharan. He said that just forgetting all these things and forget Varnashram Dharma and just be not attached to this world and taking shelter only of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in many cases, there are famous verses, Kibabi Prakiba Nasi Shudra Kena Noi J Krishna Tattva Veta Shri Guru Hai. It doesn't matter whether one is a Brahmana, a sannyasi, or a Shudra. If one knows the science of Krishna, he can be a guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself heard from Rai Ramananda, who, although in a highly placed position, was technically known as a Shudra, according to the caste system, which was operational at that time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga, shatkul vipra nahe bhajane joga, je bhaje she baro abhaktahino cha Krishna bhajane nahik jat kuladi bicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that birth in a low family is not a disqualification for bhakti, and nor is birth in a high family a qualification for bhakti. Whoever worships Krishna is glorious. He's big. In Krishna consciousness, there is no consideration of caste or any such thing. So many people have, on the basis of this, and seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's charitra, we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, so his, this charitra means character, or it means his biography. So we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he laughed, he cried, he danced, he wept. He dispensed with formalities. Many people have emphasized this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he, when speaking to the rigid, highly formal sannyasis of Varanasi, they were highly formal, and they didn't at all appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great informality, which they thought was undignified for a sannyasi to jump around and crying and laughing and dancing with all kinds of low-class people. The sannyasis of Varanasi considered this to be a blot on the reputation of the sannyas order. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained this by quoting the instruction that his guru, his Diksha guru, who is a sannyasi, gave to him about the holy names and about Sankirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while relating this, said that his guru had taught him a verse which was the essence of the Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted Shastric authority to substantiate his what appeared to the orthodox sannyasis of Varanasi to appear to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's highly irregular or deviant behavior. He was a deviant. He was deviant from the Mayavadis. As far as the Mayavadis were concerned, he was a deviant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted that verse, Evang Vrata Sapriyanama Kircha Jatanuraga Chitta Drutta Uchai Hasatyato Roditi Roti Gayati Hasatyato Madhavan Hasatyati Nritti Unmadhavan Lokabhaya. He said that, his guru instructs him in this verse, that when one is in full love of Krishna, then he sings, laughs, cries tears and cries out, calls out, dances, without caring for outsiders. Satyato rodati roti gayatun madhavan rityati lokabhaya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was highly unorthodox. He flouted the, in many ways, he flouted the Varnashram rules of the time. Could you please sit so you're not showing your back to the deities? Gaunatai, thank you. He not only kept company with, but he gave great respect and authority to Rup, Sanatan, and Haridas, who were all rejected by orthodox caste Hindus because of their association with Muslims. Haridas was raised as a Muslim. Some people say he was born of Brahmin parents who died when he was a baby. Whatever, he's known as a Muslim by background. And Rup and Sanatan, although they were born in Brahmin families, because of their intimate association with Muslims, they were also rejected from the strict Hindu society of the time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he not only accepted them, but he gave them all prominent positions in his Sankirtan movement. Haridas was known as the Namacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave that designation to him. Spiritual death, not mundane designation, spiritual death. And Rup and Sanatan, they're called the Dui Senapati, the two commanders-in-chief of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in many ways, he was unorthodox. He flouted the Varnashram system. But it wasn't that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was against rules and regulations. He personally observed the rules of the sannyas order. In many ways, he refused all comforts that were offered to him by his devotees. He bathed three times daily. Sometimes he'd forget, but mostly he'd forget due to ecstasy of chanting, but generally he was very strict about these things. He was very strict about associating with women. He didn't want to do that at all. There's no record of him doing so after his acceptance of sannyas. And even before he accepted sannyas, it's particularly pointed out in Chaitanya Bhagavat that even though he was habituated to chanting, in his Navadip Leela, in his householder life, he was habituated to joking, jesting, practical jokes. He would mix up when people were bathing on the, when he was a little younger, when people were bathing on the bank of the Ganga, he'd mix up all their clothes and things like this. So he was a very humorous and sometimes exasperatingly humorous boy, and then youth, and then young man. But for all his joking nature, he never joked with women. He never even looked at them. So he was very strict in some ways. He also ordered the compilation of the rules of Vaishnava behavior, which came to be known as Hari Bhakti Vilas and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this one section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is dedicated to the rules and regulations of devotional life in the stage of sadhana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave the greatest importance to Srimad Bhagavatam among all the shastras. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Varnashram system is upheld. It's not rejected, but it's brought to its proper conclusion. Atat pungsa dvija shayishta varnashrama vibhagasha swanushtitasya dharmasya sangsidhya haritoshana, which echoes or brings into full focus the verse from the Vishnu Purana, varnashrama charavata purushena parapuman Vishnura radhyate pantana nyatatoshakaranam, that by following the varnashram and worshipping Vishnu, one can satisfy him. And therefore the Bhagavatam verse says, atapumbe dvija shreshta, but being situated in one's varnashram position, one can, the full perfection of that is to satisfy Hari, Vishnu. And if one doesn't do so, then what is to be said of that? Then that is simply shrama eva hi kevalam. What is that verse? How does that begin? Dharma. Dharmas. Dharma swanushtita pungsang. That's a line in another. Dharma swanushtita pungsang. Vishvaksena katasoyaha. Not padi adyati ratim. Shrama eva hi kevalam. If one doesn't, from following all varnashram, if one doesn't gain a taste for hearing about Krishna, then it's all simply a waste of time. And elsewhere in the Bhagavatam we find extensive descriptions. Well, not very extensive. In the Dharma Shastras, there are extremely detailed descriptions. But considering that the subject matter of Bhagavatam is, ultimately the subject matter is Krishna Prema. So there's several chapters spoken by Narada Muni, who is the Shaktyaveshavata, the empowered descent for bhakti shakti, for infusing bhakti in others. So there are several chapters in the Bhagavatam which describe the duties within varnashram. Duties of brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis, women, brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, all these are described. And so, varnashram is, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he superficially rejected, or he rejected varnashram as not being the goal of life itself, but it is important in coming to the goal of life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chanted, he danced, he wept, he rolled on the ground. He had three states of consciousness. Totally absorbed, in which he would forget the outside world altogether. And then when he was interacting with the outside world, internal conscious, external consciousness, and somewhere in between. So when he was in external consciousness, he would he would follow all these rules of varnashram, and he expected his disciples to do so also, to the extent that he banished his dear servitor, Chota Haridas, for what even his own associates, what even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own associates considered to be a minor infringement of the rules for renunciants, because Chota Haridas, he apparently, some lustful thought came in his mind by, he spoke to a woman, and she was an old woman, and specifically mentioned in Chaitanya Charitam, she was old, very renounced, highly advanced in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada suggested that there was maybe some other younger woman who Haridas became attracted to, and because of this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unrelentingly banished Haridas and actually became pleased when he heard that Haridas, in frustration at being rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had committed suicide. So this is really, okay, it's time for that verse. That Kotorani Mruduniapi, this Vajadapi Kotorani Mriduni Komalapi Api, something like that. Kusamadapi, Komal Kusamadapi. That's the verse which I quote many times and I still didn't get it right. So hard as a thunderbolt, soft as a rose. So really very harsh apparently, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this to set the standard, especially for renunciants. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. It wasn't that he dispensed with all formalities. And after Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur himself accepted sannyas and offered the sannyas order to others, within Vaishnava society in Bengal arose much protest that this is not a Vaishnava activity. This is part of Varnashrams, and we reject Varnashram. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would say, yes, it's within Varnashram. We accept that. That's why we're doing it. He's doing it on the order of Bhaktivinoda to reestablish Varnashram, because the misunderstanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statements that bhakti transcends Varnashram, the misunderstanding had led to chaos and the absolute downfall of Vaishnava society. That in the perfect state, one does not follow Varnashram, does not mean that when one is not in the perfect state that one should do so. By not following Varnashram when one still is not situated in transcendence, then one merely falls down. Varnashram minimally helps to keep a person situated in proper behavior, dharma. Here Arjuna is talking about dharma. But if we think that's not necessary because I'm following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we may try to imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but imitation leads to fall down. So, a Varnashram is required, and seeing that the Varnashram system had broken down and had been misunderstood and improperly rejected by Vaishnavas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to re-establish that. And not only had been misunderstood by Vaishnavas, it had also been misunderstood by pretty much everyone. In Bengal at that time, the Hindu society was dominated by the smarter understanding of one Raghunandan, who had given his smriti for the people of Bengal, and Vaishnavas were also very much affected by that, and all over India, actually, this misunderstanding of Varnashram. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to revive that. He personally didn't take any practical steps to do so, but he ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur to do so. Two important major instructions he gave to, well, he gave many instructions to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, but he said about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that you have come to this world to propagate the pure chanting of the holy names, which we can understand as differentiated from offensive chanting of the holy names, which was prominent in Bengal at that time, and to re-establish Varnashram, dharma. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur took steps toward doing that by recognizing Vaishnavas from any birth caste as being as good as and better than Brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to take that a lot further, because irresponsible, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, irresponsible leaders of society bring about chaos in society. And we practically see that at the present time, that irresponsible leaders, they deliberately bring about chaos. They tamper with the economic system. Just to give some example, they tamper with the economic system, which puts everyone except the very rich in jeopardy. They they have this very artificial economic system. One thing I thought about is that why is America so rich compared to countries like India, America, and Western Europe? Why is that? Well, there could be many reasons for that. But natural resources in, if we compare America and India, are about the same. And they both have plenty of natural resources. They both have plenty of intelligent people. America nowadays doesn't produce very much. You'd think a nation would be economically developed or economically forward if it produces lots of goods. But America imports everything from China, pretty much. Everything's made in China. So why is America so... I think one reason is because of manipulation of the economics. America's hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt, that just means they cook up some artificial money. the less artificial money is given to other countries. So they're just, the economic system is just, by this World Bank, they're just keeping America rich at the expense of other countries. Because actually, they don't have any money. They're just living on imaginary money. That's all. Anyway, there's just one thought which came to my mind. I'm not an economist, and it seems the economists themselves, this whole system is so complex, they themselves can't work it out. They don't know what's going on. Then hardly anyone predicted these crashes that come, hardly anyone predicts them. And if anyone does predict them, they just say, he don't know what he's talking about. And then it crashes. So here in India, one symptom of how irresponsible leaders bring about chaos in society, or one means by which they do so, is by promoting Monsanto and other companies' seeds, which lead to destruction of the parampara of seeds that's been going on since time immemorial. And the results of this is that with the pesticides, the heavy pesticides and fertilizer have to go with that, is depletion of soil resources and more than 250,000 farmers have committed suicide in the last 5 or 6 years in India due to these policies of the government, and probably many more also, because, you know, lies, damn lies, and statistics. So these are just some examples, and someone could write a very big book on how leaders are manipulating society and almost deliberately causing chaos. I mean, look what's going on in the Middle East, and if you happen to follow the news, and Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, all these countries. It's just chaos caused by leaders. A recent survey conducted all over the world asked people which country in the world is the most dangerous threat to world peace. And of course, America has been conducting military excursions to places like Iraq and Afghanistan in the name of upholding world peace. But the world verdict is the country that is the greatest threat to world peace. What is it? Iran? No, America. So leaders are causing chaos. Srila Prabhupada's response, what was his response? Have a peace vigil. No, Prabhupada said peace vigils are useless. Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring in Krishna consciousness and practical social project. Srila Prabhupada writes here about community projects. Srila Prabhupada wanted community projects. What are those community projects? Opening hospitals, opening schools. Practically these things are useless for helping society. When the whole society is set up on a completely wrong basis, then to set up hospitals and schools to educate people to be part of that demoniac society doesn't really address the problem. So Srila Prabhupada's community project was revival of Varnashram, Daiva Varnashram, based on Krishna consciousness. Now, persons who are raised in the demoniac society believe all the nonsense that they're brainwashed in so as to become slaves of that demoniac society. There was one famous Russian author, he must have died now, this Alexander Solzhenitsyn. I probably pronounced it wrongly. He was writing in Russia in the Soviet era. And somehow became famous in the West. His works were translated, and Russia booted him out. They didn't kill him. They booted him out of the country because his writings exposed the inequity of the supposedly equal communist system, and it exposed the horrors and the despotism and the inhumanity. So he went as a great hero to America, the land of the brave, the land of the free, and he was called to give a speech at Harvard University, the pinnacle of learning in America. Still, I think, probably to American chagrin, Harvard still doesn't have quite the same reputation as Oxford. But anyway, it's about as high as you can get in America to give a major lecture at Harvard University. So he gave a lecture, and in his lecture he said that the difference between the American people and the Russian people is that the Russian people know that they are slaves, and the Americans don't. They think they're free. He was never invited back to Harvard again. But we are slaves of an economic system that makes us think that if we get a job that earns more money, our life is a success. If we get more money than people, if you get a job which gives you, I don't even know what it is nowadays, you probably need about 20 lakhs a month or something just to buy rice and that's a bit of an exaggeration. Give it another 2 years. But I don't want to talk politics. I mean, the UPA government looks to be on its way out, but among its great contributions is the incredible inflation, food inflation. They used to give figures, inflation, not including food. But that's the most important thing for everybody. They wouldn't include the price because the price of food has shot up so much. So if you can afford to have a car to drive to your work in, to your prison, then you're considered very successful. So we're slaves of our desires, and the desires are put in our minds by the whole society, and especially by the educational system and by the TV and other agents of the mass media. So the whole society is in chaos, and it's not that the leaders of society are doing this unknowingly. they actually know what they're doing. For instance, it has been discovered that George Bush and Tony Blair knew that when they sent forces to invade Iraq, because there were reports of there being weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and according to their doctrine, only countries like Britain and America have weapons of mass destruction. Anyone else who has weapons of mass destruction, they get subject to the weapons of mass destruction of the countries who have them. So they knew that this was a lie, but they propagated it, and they attacked Iraq and caused incredible suffering, total chaos in the society. So it's not that the leaders, they're just some innocent people who don't know what's going on. That's us. It's the leaders are demons, in the language of Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there's chaos in society, and Srila Prabhupada's solution was to spread Krishna consciousness, but also to give a social alternative, which is Varnashram. That's Krishna's alternative, Daiva Varnashram, headed by qualified brahmanas who, by their shastric knowledge, that knowledge which is meant for the benefit of human society, and by their personal qualities, among which is Krishnaika Sharan, full surrender to Krishna, they can guide human society. So this is a very great task. And Srila Prabhupada left that task to his followers to undertake. Unfortunately, within his own movement, there are many who denigrate the attempt to establish Varnashram. It's something like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement in Navadvip when he was a householder. Then there were various opponents to that from the Hindu community, not Muslim community we can expect, but from the Hindu community. And such persons, they themselves are denigrated for denigrating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan as nindaks, blasphemers, criticizers, and parshandis, which is usually translated as atheist. Now, the main reason that these people, they were against Nirmai Sankirtan, and there are various reasons. One reason they said that, well, it's not according to Shastra. This loud chanting of the names, that is acceptable on suitable occasions for various manifestations of Chandi, Vishahari, various manifestations of Durga. So on certain occasions, staying up at night, playing loudly instruments and singing loud, that's okay on certain occasions, not all the time. So that's going against Shastra. And the holy name of God is so sacred that if you chant it loudly, it loses its potency. Which means that they think that the name of Krishna is something material and So you can chant it softly in japa, but not loudly. So these were some reasons that they gave. other reasons, they're keeping us awake all night. We can't sleep all night because they're doing their kirtan so loudly. So these were anti-Vaishnavas. But there were also some criticizers who said that, very realistically speaking, you might say, that if Nirmai goes on with this Sankirtan movement, then we're under Muslim rule. We don't do this kind of thing. We're very circumspect in our practice of Hinduism. If we become all open and do all this and become everywhere chanting the holy names, then the Muslims are going to come down on us and slam us and kill us all, It was a very real fear, because that's how the Muslims ruled India to a large extent during most of Islamic rule. Again, you won't get this in your history books, because for the sake of political correctness, they don't tell you all these things. But most of the Islamic rulers of India, with the exception of Akbar, were despots. And among Muslims, they think the best of all was Aurangzeb, because he... Anyway, I won't get into the details now, but they had a habit of killing Hindus, destroying temples, and in general, of course, some scholars, they contest this, but there is plenty of evidence that the Hindus were living in fear, and they practiced their Hinduism, for want of a better word, in a very cautious way. And when Nimai took a whole group, well there was a lead up to that news came to the Qazi, the Muslim ruler of Nadia, that under the inspiration of this Nimai, people were openly performing Sankirtan. So the Qazi went to one house, he broke a mridanga, that's a kind of symbolism. And he said that if I hear this anymore, I'll convert you all into Muslims. So it was a great fear for the Hindus. But Chaitanya Nimai, he said, no, we'll chant more. Let's take out a Sankirtan procession to the Qazi's house. So previously, the Sankirtan of Nimai at the house of Srivash Thakur, only his own devotees had been allowed in. But then Nimai said, okay, let's take everyone. It was open, everyone could come. It's like Jagannath's only in his temple and lechers like myself can't go inside. But on Rath Yatra day, everyone can have darshan. So everyone had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was at that time not known as Chaitanya. And the skeptical Hindu said, oh no, he's taking, he's marching out to the Qazi's house. We're all as good as dead. The Muslim rule will come down on us heavily and kill us all. We'll all be finished. Well, it didn't happen. But they were speaking in a realistic manner. It could only be expected that the result of performing Sankirtan openly would be disastrous. So in the same way, there are within our movement devotees who are realistic, and they want to see what is best for everyone, but they do so according to their own understanding and their own experience. As did the Hindus, who were afraid that Nimai was bringing great danger upon the whole Hindu community by publicly performing Sankirtan. So in our movement also, there are those who say, oh, Van Ashram, it's not going to work. And to be realistic, you have to earn a living, be normal, and all this idea of going to the land and your children, you're training them so that they can be Krishna conscious, and it's not very practical. They can be Krishna conscious and be a demon at the same time. They don't say that, but they can have demoniac schooling and be Krishna conscious at the same time. Well, it's possible for Prahlad, but it's not recommended for everyone. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada told us to establish Gurukul and Varnashram. So persons may be very well-meaning and think that they're doing and saying what is the best, but actually they are acting as the criticizers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted. They're acting against his mission. They give advice to people who want to join the Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their advisors say, no, no, it's very dangerous. You'll get in trouble with the Muslims, and then they'll start thinking, oh, yeah. And then they don't come, because the fear is placed in their heart. They don't have faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have the order of Srila Prabhupada. We are not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we have the order of Srila Prabhupada to fulfill this mandate of Gurukul and Varnashram. There have been serious mistakes made in trying to establish these projects. But to be realistic in the worldly way and to advise others not to take part in this, this is acting against the mission of Srila Prabhupada. If one has doubts, then in one sense the doubt is good, because it is a fact. It is not an easy thing to do, and we do to establish this. So if one has doubts, one can express those doubts and discuss that. But to conclude that it is actually a wrong thing to do, and to discourage while oneself being an initiated devotee, and at the same time discouraging devotees from making this great leap of faith, this commitment to establish, to involve oneself literally, directly, in the Gurukul and Varnashram projects, to discourage others from do so, is just like the blasphemers and criticizers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who didn't have faith in him, and they thought he was doing something very wrong. So my request here is that so many devotees have been out distributing Srila Prabhupada's books to help to establish the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in human society. To establish that, the next step, the next logical step when people take to Krishna consciousness is, as Srila Prabhupada directed us, to establish community projects, Varnashram projects. So don't stand in the way of that. Don't invent a philosophy different or a strategy different to that which Srila Prabhupada gave us. The idea that, well, we'll just remain in modern society and at St. Chan Hare Krishna, and if our children become materialistic, which is highly likely because that's what the whole direction of human society is, then what can we do? This is actually acting against the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I should add to my list of initiation qualifications: don't preach against Varnashram. Don't become an enemy within the camp. Don't try to stop this. If you have concerns, all right, very good. Let us know what your concerns are. We can discuss with you. We can make adjustments if necessary. But we're going ahead with this with faith in the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, faith in the order of Srila Prabhupada. And even if you say this is not going to work, even if you may be happy if some of the children who are now in Gurukul, later they want to become a software engineer or a film star or a airline pilot or whatever, you might say, well, just see. But they are not the loser. They're not the buying, spending their childhood absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they are not the loser. Materially, they might, if they want to become a demon or a semi-demon, that's up to them. We can't stop them. But at least they've had the opportunity. We are doing our duty by giving them the opportunity to engage in Krishna consciousness. Even if these farm communities, they don't work out in the best possible way that we hope for, the fact that people have lived like that, at least for some years, in which they have the opportunity to be in the association of devotees all the time, that is a great benefit for them. Last time I was up at the farm here, this near Karumandurai, and one of the devotees said that, well, in many ways it's very difficult for us, and he gave various reasons, and I said, yeah, that's that you knew before you came, but the advantage is that you spend all the time in the association of devotees. You have a full morning program every morning, which you didn't have when you were in the city. So materially it's difficult, but spiritually it's for your great benefit. And he acceded to that. So even if these projects don't work, and they're less likely to work if people are speaking against them. If we all get into it, then it's going to make it easy to. And they can work. I don't think that, if I think that these can't work, then indirectly I'm saying that Srila Prabhupada was wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about. Krishna didn't know what he's talking about. It's actually offensive to say that these things cannot work. So they can work, and they will work. We'll go through difficulties in establishing them. But even whatever's gone on so far is for the eternal benefit of those who are involved in it. So please don't contaminate this or attempt to undermine this endeavor which Srila Prabhupada so much wanted to establish. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this, please? One thing I have to say, nothing to do with this subject, but I just heard it for the last three mornings or three out of the last four mornings. Those who are leading the kirtan, they're singing in the first verse, Yuktasya Bhaktangs Cha. What's the next word? What is it? Niyunjatopi, but I'm hearing Nayunjatopi, which is incorrect. So it seems to have become a standard here. It's not Nayunjatopi, it's Niyunjatopi. Okay, any questions about today's class? All right, no question. You're in a state of shock. Huh? I don't know what to say. Yeah. Out of context. All right. Send it to BVK Sangha. Or ask BVS. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Gurukul and Varnashram projects ki jai. Jai. Thank you.